I just pray the Lord really minister to your heart tonight. I feel like He wants to, and maybe even, I don't know, we'll see what the Lord does tonight, but let's just pray. Father, we thank You for what You're doing inside of us. We thank You for the Holy Spirit who is always moving in ways to make Jesus real in us, beyond teaching, beyond dealing, beyond moving in our hearts and affecting us. He's wanting to bring forth Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we need You. We need You to move inside of us, and that we might move with You and receive from You and allow You to do Your work and bring forth Jesus, the Lamb of God, inside of us. It's more than a prayer, Lord. It's a heart cry. And we ask, if it be in Your sight pleasing, Father, and within Your heart, Holy Spirit, that You would move tonight upon those and within those who are here listening, to work inside of us, to work inside of us. So we just open now, we give You permission, and we open the doors of our heart, and we ask that You would do Your work in us. We just put our faith in our hearts and our openness to You in this way right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, tonight's sharing is going to be on the engrafted word. And I feel like the Lord may want to move beyond just the things we're going to share to maybe doing some prayer and some movement inside of us. So we'll just see. And I know I forgot to turn the light on in this room, so let me do that real fast. There we go. That's going to help me see. Okay, so just let's get familiar with the engrafted word. And to do that, I'm going to read out of James chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 18. So I'm going to read several different versions of James chapter 1, verse 18, and we'll just kind of soak in the spirit of that verse and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts in regards to what this is saying to us. So this is the King James Version. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And the King James Bible says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Superfluity of naughtiness. That's quite the way of saying it. I'm not sure what. But those are quite the words there. Okay. Christian Standard Bible. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Contemporary English Version. You must stop doing anything immoral or evil. Instead, be humble and accept the message planted in you to save you. The Good News Translation. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that He plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. The Holman Christian Standard Bible. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. The International Standard Version. Therefore, rid yourselves of every impure and every expression of wickedness, and with a gentle spirit welcome the word planted into you that can save your soul. The NET Bible. So put away all filth and evil excess, and humbly welcome the message implanted within you, which is able to save your souls. The New Heart English Bible. Therefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, Receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The Aramaic Bible in plain English. Therefore, put away from you all abomination and the multitude of evils, and in humility accept the word, which is planted in our nature, which is able to save these souls of ours. I personally like the Aramaic Bible in plain English. Yay! I'm going to read that one again. Therefore, put away from you all abomination and the multitude of evils, and in humility accept the word which is planted into our nature, which is able to save these souls of yours. And I'm going to say ours. Personally, I want to be in on that. God's Word Translation. So get rid of all immoral behavior and all the wicked things you do. Humbly accept the word that God has placed into you. This word can save you. So we've just got a whole bunch of versions saying the same thing there. But there is the word which God has sent to save our souls. The word which is meant to be engrafted into us. And we all probably understand to some degree the concept of the engrafted word, you know, that it's not just the word that we go to a class and the word kind of comes to us and falls into our ears, and we listen to tapes in our car or in our offices or when we're on a walk or different times we're letting the word play and flow over us. And we remember some of it, we don't remember other parts of it, but I believe there is something so specific in God's heart when he had James write this, that it is just, and it's not verse 18 either, I should have that down, but I think verse 18, which comes before it, kind of shows how serious, how precious it is to God's heart, because James 1:18 says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So there's something in the heart of God that he brought us forth by the word of truth, with this purpose that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits, firstborn, the spirit of the Son would define the creature, the species, the kind of being that word would bring forth in us after its kind. That word would be implanted into us, engrafted into us, abide in us, root down into us, take hold of us and bring forth fruit after his kind, that he might have unto him, that he would have a first fruits of his creatures, that he would have his Son in nature, in a creation that bears his image and his likeness and his kind and brings forth his spirit. The word brought forth. The word is able to save our souls. The word of truth that he has sent forth, of his own will begotten us through, is meant to do something that no one of us can do. It's meant to bring forth his nature in us, to bring forth the spirit of the seed that he's planting, his word, the word, the seed of God into us, which seed is Christ, that Christ might become unto the Father a first fruit of his nature, a creation that has that spirit of the firstborn Son, that we might be changed, that we might be really, really different. And we know the concepts. We y'all can probably share all of this so much better than me. You'd probably get the verse right that I'm trying to speak from. I have already said the wrong verse out of the chapter 1 of James. I have 18 versions of it. But you know what? Knowing every version of it and getting the verse number right and understanding all the concepts still isn't going to get that living word into my heart in such a manner that it can change me into His image, and Christ can come out of me, and it won't be me coming out of me with my attitudes and all those hindrances. And I do believe there's something in the heart of the Lord for us tonight, or wherever you are, whatever time it is you're listening, but there's something in the Lord's heart that He is longing to send forth His word, and it would reach the good ground that is in us, the good ground, and it would go deep, and it would be implanted, and it would be engrafted, and it would bring forth, it would yield a harvest of another nature, which is Christ in us, that it would change us, that we would be transformed. So there's things with the word that hinder, there's things with us that hinder the word from being engrafted into us. We see this in the parable of Matthew 13, where Jesus talks to His disciples about all the different kinds of ground, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, the seed that fell by the wayside, the good ground. The problem isn't with, and we know this, the problem isn't with the word, it isn't with the seed. The word is good. The word was with God and was God. I mean, the word is Him. That's just something very eternal. But that eternal word that came from the spirit realm reality, which is God, all and in all, it's Him. He is that, the person and the fullness of that reality is God. And that word is sown out from that reality, that being. It is that being. It is that reality into us down here in these earthen vessels, dirt vessels made of clay, in this crazy realm of chaos, in our messed up minds and freaked out souls, in crisis circumstances and tired bodies and busy schedules and bad memories, and that word comes out from the bosom of the Father, that word that was in the beginning with God, was God, the word that was with Him, sent from His very bosom, ever with Him, in oneness, eternal, a person, a nature. That word, that living being, that eternal seed, God sent His Son. He sowed His seed, His word, His beloved Son, into the earth, the dirty earth. And He was crucified. He was mocked. He was spit upon. He was falsely accused. He was shamefully beheld. He was in agony of soul. He was slapped and beaten and crucified, mocked and scourged. We know the story. But that's God's word. That's God's seed. That's the spirit realm releasing its seed into our realm, this earth, this sense realm. It looked at Him, the pure word of God, and it called Him a murderer, a blasphemer, a demon-possessed man. It called Him every manner of evil, and He was a spotless, sinless lamb. The Son of the Father, that was God in flesh, incarnate, spirit realm reality, manifesting in our sense realm. And we beheld Him, and we did not know. we esteemed him not. We beheld him with our sense realm eyes, and we esteemed him forsaken and smitten of God. We went by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we looked at the Lamb and saw a cursed man, worthy of the vilest death. And yet the Father sowed him. It pleased him that he might be bruised and broken. With what purpose? With what purpose would such a deep sowing of the word come out from the very heart of God? Why would they be willing to sow themselves, the word, into our soil, the spirit realm, into our dirty earth, sense realm, at such cost, so that it could be engrafted into us, so it could be implanted into us, so it could bring forth the first fruit, harvest, of the very nature that was so abusively received at first by our realm, by our eyes, by our hearts. And yet he died, and yet he broke, and yet he bled, and yet he stayed clean of guile, and yet he forgave, and yet he poured and poured out his soul unto death, that he might reach the good ground inside of us, and that he might be engrafted in into us, that we might be after his kind by that seed that he is. Christ is that seed. Galatians chapter 4, chapter 3 tells us he is that seed. And chapter 4 of Galatians says, and he wants to be formed in us, 4:19. And yet he prevailed, and he went through it all to reach the good ground. And it was a battle fought by laying his life down and staying in that spirit of love, which is his nature. He won the battle, and he's reached many, many hearts. But that battle continues. This engrafted word that's able to save us, to change us, to bring us forth in his image, to bear a harvest of the first fruit, of the firstborn, of the nature of the Lamb. That same warfare continues, and we are part of it. We're part of it in what way? In this way. Did he ever interceded for us at the right hand of the Father, that he ever pours, that he ever gives himself, because he's always the Lamb from before the foundation of the world till the end of time and after, worlds without end. It's who he is. He gives selflessly. God is for us. The word, the person wants to reach the good ground of your heart and my heart. He died to do it. He lives and gives and intercedes, and he's for you to get the engrafted word. And yet there is the Calvary scene that happens not just 2,000 years ago or on the movies we watch called Jesus of Nazareth or some kind of depiction of an event that happened 2,000 years ago. But right now that Calvary scene appears in our hearts and minds when that word comes to us and wants to go deep into our soil, be implanted and engrafted, and our eyes behold, our ears hear, our hearts comprehend by their senses. And many times attack the word. In fact, in John chapter 8 and verse 37, Jesus said, "You seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you, You seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. He was speaking to scribes and Pharisees who knew the scriptures better than all the disciples. My word has no place in you. You may know more of the word than anybody and may be more familiar with the scriptures than everyone. But does it have place in us? Has it reached the good ground and has it yielded transforming harvests of the first fruits of the Lamb? That's what we need. That's what I need. And that sense realm in me, in my soul, in my mind, in my body, in my circumstances, will war against the entrance of thy word. Remember how David would just cry out, Allah, for the entrance of thy word. And if you read Psalm 119, the longest by so much of all the Psalms, he's just reveling in the word and how precious the word is unto him. It is a man who is going to have the engrafted word, bar none, no doubt about it, with that kind of a heart and pursuit and love for the word. How can you not get the word engrafted? It's a wonderful, just behold that spirit and pursuit and heart, that spirit that can be and is in us. That same heart that God gave David is in us. In fact, he's just a prophecy of this generation that seeketh thy face and knows thy heart, that we might realize this is how we are with our God and how we receive of him. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. These young men had the word of God abiding in them and overcame the evil one. In this sense, there is this maturing that will happen as his word has entrance deep within us. But we find in this verse that James speaks of concerning the engrafted word, that we are to receive it with meekness. And I just think that that's something now that we can just say, Lord, don't just share this with me as a teaching, Lord. Don't even open it to me as a revelation of what it means. But Lord, let this be heart surgery. Let this be, Lord, by your Spirit, something that can be added into my ways with you, that I might receive your word deeper than ever before for the rest of my life, Lord. Inscribe these set spirit realm eternal things into my fleshly tables of my heart. And let there be a new entrance, a new openness, a new submission to thy word, Father. Move by your Spirit now, Lord. We just pray that. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Receive, you know, is the first word. We want to just kind of just let our hearts ponder. Receive. Receive. Do I come to class? Do I go to the word to hear, to know, or to receive? And when I receive, what spirit is my heart in? Am I receiving with meekness and humility and brokenness? Broken ground. God loves it because the seed, the word, goes right in. Now you might say, I'm too much of a mess to have broken ground. I mean, I'm hard, unresponsive. I fail. There's sin. It's telling me to get, you know, the first part of the verse here says, put away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. And, you know, I can't because that's who I am. I mean, I just, how do I put away what I am? How do I stop being me? Well, I don't know. Maybe just thoughts. I'm not saying they're right thoughts. Something I am pondering is maybe putting away all that evil and getting rid of all that behavior and stuff has to do with our approach to the word, I mean, on a certain front. I don't know. But not allowing all of that to hinder the word of God from getting inside your heart. You know, you can fail the Lord and be in sin and break. It can break your heart and reduce you down to ashes. And we're not talking about, oh, just sin and let sin abound. No. We need to get our sins under the blood and cry out for Christ to be formed and His Spirit to reign in us and not let sin reign in our members. Paul said, God forbid, I'm not giving license to sin here. Jesus died to put away the man that would bring forth that fruit of sin in all those deeds. And we are dead. And if we are dead, we've cut that thing off at the root that's producing those things. But the word has to find entrance to bring the word of the cross so deep that it does lay the axe to the root and bring forth a whole other tree that will bear a whole other kind of fruit that isn't those sinful fruits of the old creation and the old nature. But until that engrafted word gets in, and you're failing right and left, and getting harder and further from the Lord, maybe it's time to just let it break your heart. You know, I don't know, I'm just talking now, just talking. You know, but instead of getting all like, oh, I was just too messed up, my ground's too bad, I can't even be in this class, I can barely listen, my concentration level is just nothing, I'm so tired, I am so distracted, I am so off from the Lord, I am so distant. But you know, if that's bothering you at all, it's because you love Jesus. If that makes you sad that you're in that state and you're just like, oh, whatever. But if it makes you sad, that's because that good ground in there is crying out for that seed to get implanted and reach it and help it. That unformed dark mass of chaos, that dark place that is our hearts, is waiting for that eternal word to shine its light in there and bring life to the dead. Bring the dead to life. Bring the dead to life. Bring the dead to life. Maybe you, instead of being the worst candidate for the engrafted word, are the best, but you just, you let the failures and all that stuff beset you from turning from yourself and all those wicked deeds unto the word. Turn, lay it aside. Get it away from your heart and your mind, and don't let it be a veil between you and the entrance of the word. Don't let it keep the word from going into your heart. Use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. Grab a hold of every heartbreaking failure, every hard place, and with meekness break before the Lord. Just fall on your face and say, Lord, I need you. I don't need teaching. I don't need to understand every angle of inspiration and illumination your word can avail by study, although I want to seek you in that way, but with this one purpose. You save my sorry soul and bring forth Jesus. I need you. Jesus said, I didn't come to the people who are well. I came to the sick. They need a physician. I will sow my time and my care into them. This is Jesus of Nazareth before he died. But the eternal word has come to save us who are broken, messed up, devoid of life. He gave himself to enter into us and bring life. And we can use that, and we can just say, Lord, instead of this pushing me further and further and further from you, where now I'm just so far from you, I don't even know my way home. We can be like, you know what? Maybe I'm the prodigal that doesn't know my way home, but I'm coming anyway. And maybe I will hang my head in shame the whole way home. But with humbleness and meekness and brokenness, I'm going back to my father. I got nothing but a life of squandering everything on myself with prostitutes and riotous living, eating unclean food and living out there with the heathen. But I am not going to move into Sodom. I'm going home to Dad. And you let that heart carry you where your sin wouldn't let you before. You break the meek and a contrite spirit. God will not despise a meek and a contrite spirit. A broken heart, He is close to that. He comes close to that. He's not about sin. He's about getting His Son in you. He's not about sin. He's about His Son. He's not sin conscious. He's Son conscious. He dealt with sin once and forever on the cross. He bore our sin and our trespasses and our iniquities and paid the penalty of all of them, which was death. He has done it. It is finished. He has paid the price. But He can't coerce our free will to receive the free gift of His engrafted word. We have to open. And these things try to beset us from yielding to the engrafting of it, to the implanting of it, to the sowing and the deep working of the Spirit in it. We can say yes in the face of all sense realm opposition called our messed up minds. Lord, my mind, it's so messed up. The enemy influences my thoughts. The serpent speaks to me. My carnality makes it all about me. I'm a disaster. I can't receive. I can't receive. I can't partake. I can't get the engrafted word. Receive it with meekness then. Don't receive it on the basis of your strengths. Don't receive it on the basis of your righteousness. Don't receive it on the basis that you're clean and perfect and sanctified. Receive it on the basis of His death. And receive it on the basis of your brokenness, that you're not able. You're just meek and contrite and good ground, not because you're perfect, because you're broken. Let Him come in there and change everything in real ways. We need the engrafted word. We need to get all these false concepts, these religious ideas, these carnal minds, these demonic lies that we cannot let the word go in because of our failures, because of our lack or heart. The only way we're going to not fail and not be hard and not be distant and prodigal and anything else that we may be carnal, demon, possessed, whatever it is that the engrafted word get in there. It's got to get in there or we will never change. We cannot change. He is the change and He's got to get in to be that change. And He can't get in if we have all these barriers called, I can't receive. Just break. Receive with meekness and let the light in. Let it shine in. Let the day star rise, but let that day spring from on high. Shine into that dark prison cell that is our hearts and our minds. Jesus made His bed in hell and He laid with the transgressors. What does that mean? He didn't go and lay with the good people who died. He went down with the transgressors and made His bed in hell with them. And He laid in that dirty earth to save them. And He will lay in our dirty earth to save us if we shall just open and let Him. Just let Him. Let Him be the Lamb. Let Him be the Lamb in you. Let the Word of God be the Lamb that was slain and sown by the Father at great cost to reach the good ground of your heart that's so hard and messed up but needs Jesus. Just let Him. Just let Him. Remember when we were in the Song of Solomon? Let Him kiss you with the kisses of His mouth. Those two words, let Him, are a universe of difficulty because we think it must be on the basis of earning and our own righteousness. But it's not on the basis of that. It's on the basis of the Lamb and His death and His eternal nature and His divine nature. It will reach us. We have to fight the good fight of faith, not of making ourselves better or earning it by works, but by yielding to the Lamb of God and opening to the work of the Spirit and allowing the Word to go deep, whereby it can save our souls. If you have something today, tonight, that's hindering you, when you hear the word, when you get in the word, when you're in a class, and you just all the time feel, I can't receive this, I'm too messed up, the enemy, the serpent's been saying things in my mind, and I listened, and I shouldn't have listened, and I'm too guilty now to receive the word, or I'm so messed up, this area in my life has made me hard, I can't focus, I can't concentrate, I'm distant, I'm prodigal, I've been off, then it's time to come back, but not come back because you're okay. Come back in a brokenness and contriteness and allow the Father to run up to you and sow His Son in you. Let the Spirit plant the seed that can save us. All the good word that God's sowing into us right now, all the amazing word that the Lord's sharing with us, it needs to be engrafted into us. Or it's just like water on a rock. It just slides off. Oh, if we could forget about ourselves and not try to come on the basis of our own righteousness, but just come on the basis of His righteousness and His death and His desire to change us deep inside by that sown word. And we'd run. We'd run. We would run to the altars of the Almighty and pour our hearts out thereupon and break before the Lord. And we just pour out our hearts before Him, and He'd pour in His engrafted word. And all the wonder, all the livingness of it, all the beauty of the Lord that would begin to flood our souls in the movement of the Holy Spirit in living and intimate ways that we've missed. We've missed Him. But we've sometimes forsaken our own mercies by observing lying vanities, because we go by the sense realm. We observe our messed up mind. We observe our bad fruit. We observe the things that our body are just out of whack. But we should be observing the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Until, what does it say in Daniel chapter 7 and 8? Until the beast is destroyed and his body is burned to ashes. Keep looking at the Lamb. Don't look away. Behold the Lamb. He'll deal with the beasts. He'll deal with them because He has dealt with them on the cross. But until the engrafted word can get in us, it won't get in us. The beasts will stay there. But when the word comes in, He'll deal with the beasts. But He's got to get implanted into us. So just behold. And that engrafted word will get in and He'll deal with those beasts. And that hardness, He'll lay the axe to that tree that's bearing that bad fruit. And we'll be transformed. First fruits of a new kind of creature that bears the likeness and image and spirit of His Son. This is what the engrafted word is sent to do. This is the Father's heart in doing it. And you know, what better time to plant a tree than today? You know, my dad is visiting here and he's so precious. I just love him so much. And we were looking at this part of my yard yesterday where I wanted to plant a row of trees in this portion of my yard for like 10 years, so there would be like a natural wall so that my neighbors that tend to look across the yard wouldn't be able to. There'd be this natural, inexpensive, beautiful wall of trees. And I've had this dream forever. And you know, I told Dad I really blew it. I should have planted those trees 10 years ago. What's wrong with me? And my dad said to me, no, today's always the best day to plant a tree, not yesterday. In other words, he's saying you can't live by what you didn't do for the last 10 years. You can't let regret from what you didn't do keep you from starting. If you plant that tree now, it's going to grow and it's going to bring forth and you will have that fruit. But you got to let the tree get planted. And you know what? We got to let the seed go in. And today is the day to let the word start getting engrafted and implanted in our hearts. Because if we do, it's going to change everything. He is going to change everything and there will be a harvest. And it will be a glorious harvest of the first fruits, which is Jesus, the firstborn Son, coming out of us in life, doing what we cannot do, going where we would not go, being what we cannot be. It will be Jesus, not I, but Christ. And I just feel the Holy Spirit wants to minister right now. Guys, I know we're not able to gather, and it's so much, in a sense, more wonderful to be together face to face, eye to eye, laying hands on one another. And oh, how our hearts would love for that right now. But, you know, we thank the Father. We're just with Him with grateful hearts. We trust Him at all times, trust in the Lord at all times. So we trust Him right now. And we do with a heart filled with faith what we can because we're with Him, and that's all that matters. So let's do that. Let's, as if we were all together at church. All together gathered, face to face, laying hands upon one another. I believe the Lord does want to move right now, on some of you. I know He's moving on me and has been since last night in this way, very deeply and very specifically by His Spirit, breaking up some foul ground in me and getting that ground of my heart ready to receive that engrafted word so I can be changed and not lose a drop. And if that's in your heart, if you just feel the Lord right now is speaking to you and you believe that your Father, not a class, not a silly old stupid girl, but the Father and the Word of life in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you believe they're speaking to you right now, just right where you're at, make it an altar. Just make it an altar right where you're at. That's the altar of the living God, right there in your heart where the Lord Himself is. The Spirit of God wants to move and wants to help you get rid of some of these lies, these lying vanities, these sense realm obstacles that have hindered your approach and openness to the Word, where there would not be any more distance and veils, but that you could just with meekness and brokenness lay before your Father and say, sow thy seed into me. Just put it on in there, Lord. I got nothing. I am nothing. In fact, you say I'm dead. So just with this dead man, with these dead bones, with this barren soul, with this earthen vessel, with this dark chaos of an earth, with this unformed mind, sow your Son, Lord. We just ask now that your Holy Spirit would move deep in the hearts and minds of those gathered here who are before you upon the altar of their heart, Lord, just right there with you, that you would move by your Spirit, Lord, and that the Spirit of the living God would do what only the third person of the Godhead can do. No man can do it. Nobody can earn it. Emotions can't fake it. It's the real thing when it's you, Holy Spirit. And we just believe you're moving in us right now to begin to take down some of these false barriers, some of these distance things, some of these things that keep the Word from going all the way in and bringing forth Christ and reaching us, reaching that heart for Jesus, reaching that new heart, that born again heart that loves you no matter what, Lord, that you want to break us out of the confines of the dark places that are us apart from you, and you want to breathe in us, you want to breathe life, the living Spirit and life Word that's coming out from the heart, the nostrils, the being of the Father. Oh, it's not just a preacher teaching or the Bible study we're reading. It is the living God breathing life into our inner man, breathing the breath of Christ into us. And oh, Father, we don't want anything to, be it pride or high-mindedness or sin awareness, Lord, or just other things, Lord, that could keep us from you. We just bow before you in our hearts. We yield ourselves into the hands of the living God. We break with these concepts of separation and righteousness and sin awareness. When you've dealt with a sin, we do not despise the blood. We honor the blood. We yield to the power of the blood of Jesus, that it has forgiven our sin. We yield to the death of Jesus, that he has taken care of this old man and his pride and his hardness and all of his ways. We yield to the desires of God to plant his word at such cost that he would give and give and will. So we choose to receive and receive, and we will with meekness do so. And Lord, we do as this verse tells us to do. We do repent. We do repent from these deeds and these things that have kept us apart. You're calling us, Jesus. You're calling us. And these things keep us apart. They keep us apart from you. So we turn from them. We put them under the blood, and we behold the Lamb. We behold until the beasts are consumed. We behold until you're enthroned, the Ancient of Days and the thousands ministering unto you. We behold until our eyes are fixed upon thee. We behold as you deal with the things we cannot. We give our hearts to what we can, to loving you, Jesus, as the least, as the worst, as yours. And Father, where fear reigned, and sin awareness reigned, and all the things that kept us from just receiving. Let them be melt the mountains like wax, melt them like mountains that are made wax now, Lord. By your Spirit, melt them like mountains that were once so hard and impossible to get past, but they are as wax before the presence of the Lord. Make the high places low, and make those low places rise in us, so that meekness will inherit the seed in the earth. Bring forth, O Father, minister to your people by your Spirit, according to thy seed getting inside of us. Do a work in us, Lord, in these days, unlike ever before. Just give our hearts to you now. We give our unformed parts to you now. We give our barrenness now, all that the word might be sown therein, and do what only it can do. We're with you in this way. We're your cultivated field. We're your sown garden. We're your garden. We're your field. We're your seedbed. You are the sower. We are the dirt. You are the seed. We are the container. We're with you in the part that we're meant to be with you in, but we trust you to be the life and the sower and our Father. And we are not alone. We are in relationship. We are in you. You are in us. And as we abide therein, we will bring forth much fruit. And our joy will be full, Lord. So we thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Just continue to move by your Spirit in all those who are with you now, Lord. Continue to minister your heart to them in deep ways, deep within them ways, Lord. Continue to breathe into them, Lord. To soften them, Lord. To give them a new anticipation for your word. A new desire, a new delight, a new freedom, a new peace, a new approach. Move now, Lord. I just feel like the Lord really is moving for some in a very deep way. Have thine own way, Lord. Deep within us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let the refreshing of the Spirit come to those now, Lord. We just need to turn the page. Turning the page on the old approach, the distance, the hardness. Yes, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you more than these things. We just love you. We just open. We thank you. We bless you. We're with you. In Jesus' name. Just want to encourage you to stay with the Lord. If he's got you, just be with him. Just linger. Maybe he's not finished yet. Let him finish. Let him finish this step. Let him do that wonderful work that only he can do. We just give him all the glory.